Okay. It's not going to matter too much where. Just get them ready. Turn to Genesis. It's kind of toward the front there a little bit. Okay. Not the very beginning, though. Well, as we continue to move along in our lessons and leadership concepts, I want to talk about a leader today, all right? Joseph. Some people might think, Joseph was a leader? A leader? Well, he was vice president of the only superpower of the time. I'd say that's pretty much of a leader, wouldn't you? What kind of a leader was he? He was a great leader, but what was it that made him great? Let's ask God to tell us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that we would look at what Joseph's life has to say, what you said and how you spoke into his life, that we might be spoken to as well, that we might take a step closer to you because of the calling on our lives to be men and women of integrity and to be the example to others of a godly person. Speak to us, I pray, this morning from your word in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, now you all know the story, right? Okay, we just had it not too long ago in our Torah portion and readings and so on. But the question is, what made Joseph a great leader? Now, he was a great leader. What was it that made him great? Well, you know, this story is a major part of our family tree, our heritage. Moses gives 13 chapters to this story. And I've got about 20 minutes to do it. Well, we're not going to do all 13 chapters, but I mean, it's a big hunk of the Torah. Well, the favorite son of Jacob. You're not supposed to have favorites. You're not supposed to have favorites, are you? Well, he did. The Bible calls him the son of his old age, but you know, he was the son of his beloved Rachel, the whole love story of Rachel. And she couldn't have kids, but she did. The women of the Bible are miracles. And in his old age, here was the son of the love of his life. All right? A young man, a teen, around age 17. What was he? He was a dreamer. He was a dreamer. Be a dreamer. Be a dreamer, okay? Please? In Acts chapter 2, 2 years ago when we studied this in our Thursday night study, at Shavuot, Peter quotes Joel. Joel's prophecy that when God pours out his spirit on his people, that they will have prophetic dreams. Prophetic dreams. I had a dream last night about pipes breaking and water. It was not prophetic, I hope. Okay, at all. I hope not. I really hope not. Okay, that wouldn't be good. But that's not the kind I'm talking about. Prophetic dreams. All right? I remember in seminary, my professor, Dr. Charles Lee Feinberg, kind of a Jewish guy, he said, God will speak to you in your dreams. And that's my prayer for you, that he will speak to you in your dreams. And he said, when you have a spiritual dream, take note of it. What is God saying to you about that? He was speaking to Joseph and through him in dreams. In this prophecy in Joel, it talks about that these prophetic dreams will end up with salvation. Not just, oh, that's nice. It's a nice picture, nice. No, it'll end up in salvation. God speaks to his people in dreams. Be a dreamer. Be a dreamer. If your dreams, see, some of you might be thinking, well, I have some dreams in my life, but that can never happen. Okay? If it's from God, it will. It will. Maybe not as soon as you would like, but maybe you need to be ready for it. As we see in the life of Joseph, a lot of things had to happen. God's timing is always perfect. But if they are of God, they will come to pass in his time. So be a dreamer. Be a dreamer. So now, back to Joseph. Jacob did pay special attention to him, made him a special coat, okay? And his brothers hated him. Ever have any family issues? His brothers hated him. You know, back in the beginning of our family tree, by the way, all of these guys, these are the 12 tribes that gave us our bloodline. And you take a look at how we got started. Not so good, huh? But his family was against him. His brothers hated him. It was jealousy. Jealousy was the root. Maybe you have some of these problems in your family with family issues because of jealousy. Because of jealousy. Maybe. These dreams were making Joseph look good, if you think about it. I'm assuming you all read this, right, recently. Read your Torah portions, okay? It was making him look good. But they were, in fact, revealing the future accurately. Sometimes people don't like to know the truth because they don't like it. It's not what they want. Yeah, maybe because Joseph was a teenager, maybe he didn't go about it quite right in wisdom at that time. You know, maybe. The point is that it was true and it was accurate. But the dreams led to the pit. Not so good. It was jealousy, which led to, see all these negative things? It's sin. Jealousy led to hatred. Hatred led to thoughts of murder and to deception. That's the progression of sin. Hey, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is never jealous. I mean, if you love someone, jealousy can't enter into that. All right? But in this case, there was hate. He was sold as a slave to Egypt. So in Potiphar's house, you know, it could have been worse. Okay, Potiphar was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. He was in a high position. And the Bible tells us in chapter 39 that he became a successful man. All right? And this, everything he did went right. And he was trusted. And Potiphar trusted him with everything in his house because he was a righteous man. In fact, turn to chapter 39. I know you're close, right? Because you turned to Genesis 39, verse 2. And here's the reason. Remember I asked you the reason at the beginning, what made Joseph a great leader? The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw, look at this, that the Lord was with him. You know, did people see that in you? And that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. All right? And everything he did prospered. And in the middle of verse 5, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And he was trusted. If you keep on reading, he trusted him with everything. But then we have a little problem. There was that was the success. Then we have the seduction. Potiphar's wife. In fact, there's a good little verse here that leads into this. Let's take a look at it. The last part of verse 6. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Okay. All right. That was God's design. Hallelujah. But now we have a woman attempting to seduce him. Now that's a part of life. And man, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this. Women too, this morning. All right. I mean, if you are in life, this kind of stuff is going to happen. The issue is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with it? Now, it wasn't a one-time thing, and that's how seduction works. You know, it may not be so hard to say no the first time, but she came at him again and again and again and again. And he, being a man of integrity, said no every time. Now, the issue is, how do you behave when there's lots of people around? The issue is, how do you behave when there's nobody around? And nobody would know the difference. That's a man of integrity. Can you be trusted? Here's the issue here. Can you be trusted to be with women alone? Can you be trusted to be with somebody else's wife alone? Can they trust you? Because in ministry, even though you try to do the best you can, there are times that you can't help it. It's going to happen. And ministry is risky. There are always risks. But the issue is, if you're a man of integrity, can you be trusted? And women, too. That's the question. Not when there's a crowd, but when you're alone. Can you be trusted? I pray the answer to that is yes, because that's one of the things that made this man a successful leader. Because we have a false accusation that sends him to prison. Sometimes you don't do anything wrong and you get in trouble. That happens. But make sure if you get in trouble, it's because you didn't do anything wrong, okay? You know, he's in prison for something he didn't do. And I thought God was with him. God was with him. God was with him in the midst of all this. But a man of integrity did the right thing, and he did it every time, all the time. That's an example of leadership right there. You can't help a false accusation, but you can help what you do. So the issue is make a decision ahead of time. How are you going to behave in a situation? That's for women too, okay? So now he's in the prison. He's in the prison. And it says in chapter 39, verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph in prison. The Lord can be with you in prison. Yes, Paul was in prison quite a bit. I don't want to have this said about me, but nonetheless, the Lord can be with you in prison. And once again, he rose to a place of leadership and supervision. Why? I quote, the Lord was with him in all he did, and the Lord made it all prosper. God was making it prosper, even in prison. Even in prison. Why? Because Joseph is in training. He didn't know that at this point in time. Some of you are in training for something really big. And some of the stuff you're going through, you're going, what is going on? It's training for what's coming. It's preparation. He was in training to be the ruler of all of Egypt. So the question was, how is he going to rule a house? Potiphar's house. He did it in righteousness. How is he going to rule a prison? He did it in righteousness. So he was being groomed to be a successful leader. But then there's some more dreams. This time they're not his, they're somebody else's. And now he's given the gift of interpretation of these dreams when they're from God. He had learned, as he grew spiritually, he learned to do this. Now, when he was called to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, he said, and I love this line, it's not me, but God will give Pharaoh the answer. He didn't take credit for anything. He was only a vehicle. It's not me. It's not me. And Pharaoh's response was, when he heard this, in Joseph is the Spirit of God. Do people say that about you? If you're the right kind of leader, maybe they should. Maybe they will. Because they see something in you and something about you. Joseph was a man of integrity. Joseph was a man that you can trust to oversee a house, to oversee a prison. He's a man you can trust with a woman alone. That's a sign of integrity. Joseph was a man you could trust to run a country. Maybe, there's a lot of stuff on TV about elections right now, right? And all these promises. Maybe they should take a look at this story. Our politicians today can learn something from Joseph about standing for integrity. Now, it was almost comical. They were saying on the news that what we're looking at is voting for the least dysfunctional of all of the candidates versus who's qualified. Isn't that? At age 30, he became vice president of the only superpower of the time. Pretty big deal. And then as the story goes on, things change, and his brothers need him. His brother, they don't know that, but they need him. And when they came to him for food, they didn't recognize him. Why? Because he looks Egyptian. Egyptian had funny haircuts, and they had makeup on and all that, right? And they dressed different. Okay? And his brothers were shepherds from the land of Canaan. And he spoke through an interpreter. He didn't let on that he understood what they were saying. He was just listening. All right? But they referred to Joseph when they understood who he was as the Lord of the land. His dreams were coming true. His dreams were coming true. And then he made them go back and get Benjamin and bring him back. Let's take a look. Chapter 43. We'll pick the story up right here. See how fast we're going through this? Chapter 43. Verse 25. Well, let's go down a little bit more. 27. And he asked them, the brothers are back now. Second time he asked them, now I want you to look at Joseph's heart from this point on. All right? Is your father well? He asked about their well-being. He said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? Joseph is longing for his father. Hadn't seen him in a long time. The old man that you spoke, is he still alive? And they answered, your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive. And they bowed their and they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves remember his dreams? That's what they did. Right? Then he lifted his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. They had the same mother. She died giving birth to him. And he said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brother. So, you know what? Maybe your heart yearns for your brother and things aren't right. And it's not your fault. This wasn't Joseph's fault. But I pray right now that God would bring healing to you and repair a situation of jealousy, of even hatred, and turn it into a situation of compassion and love and of need. And they would see, your brother would see he needs you. Lord, please do that. Remember I'm saying to look at Joseph's heart? Now we yearn for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber, that's his bedroom, and he wept there. Then he washed his face and he came out. You know what? This God, the leader of the country, was not afraid to express emotion. Here's a man's man. And he proved it by being a man of integrity. He didn't feel it was wrong to cry when his heart was touched and moved. These are people who hated him, except for Benjamin. And he's returning love for hate. That's a good example, isn't it? But they didn't recognize him just yet. All right? But then we have now the revelation and reunion. Go to chapter 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself, because all those who stood by him before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud. Look at him. He's weeping again. His heart is soft. And the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, he couldn't stand it any longer. He says, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed. I think that's an understatement. Okay, at his presence. It's like, you know, can you imagine that one? Okay, whoops. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." So they came near. Take a close look. "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold as a slave into Egypt." It's like, oh, they're thinking, I wish I was somewhere else right now. What is he going to do? What is he going to do? What are you going to do? "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me. For God sent me." Look at that. God sent me before you to preserve life. God had a higher purpose. "For these 2 years of famine have been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth." You know what he's saying? The 12 tribes. God used me to preserve Israel and Israel's future. I'll tell you how he did that in just 1 minute. "And to save your lives by a great deliverance." You know, you threw me in the pit, you sold me as a slave, but God's purpose was that I would be used to save your life. Whoa, look at how God works. Isn't that neat? Isn't that the coolest thing? He does everything his way. I'm so glad of that. Now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph.'" This is going to be an interesting little statement, isn't it? "God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry." He's going to give him the land of Goshen, the best of the land. Verse 11, "I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. For there's still 5 more years of famine. For behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you." He's speaking in Hebrew now, okay? "It's me. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, You shall hurry and bring my father down here. I want to see my father. I want to see my dad, my Abba. And he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. Look at the number of times he weeps. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Oh, verse 15. Moreover, he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. All these guys who hated him wanted to kill him. He's kissing them and weeping over them. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. Only God can do that one, okay? What would I do? Okay, everybody, we're going to start by tossing you in the pit. Then we're going to put you in prison. And then, you know, that's getting even, right? God doesn't get even. What made Joseph great? Joseph discerned God's purpose to preserve life and his family's posterity, the Jewish people. God's plan was always to use Joseph to do this very thing. That's why he had those dreams. But there were several attempted derailments in his life, one after the other. That was the work of the devil. But you can't stop God's purpose or God's plan. He'll just simply get you there a different way. But he'll get you there. He's going to get you there. I love the line in verse 8, God sent me here. And now we have the uh-oh, because now the ruler has given them an assignment. You go back and you tell my father. Now think about this. What do they have to tell Jacob? Okay, how are they going to explain this? Dad, I got something I want to tell you here. Remember all the pain you went through because you thought your son was killed by a wild animal? You saw his coat and all the blood? Can you imagine, who's going to tell him this, right? Can you imagine that? Their sin will have to be faced. They must face their father and explain one of the most despicable deceptions of all time. A lie that your son is dead when he's not. God would not let them get away with their sin, their lie, or their deception. And you know what? Don't forget that Jacob deceived his father and lied as well. Look at that. See, the role model, the family role model was carried down. But when he came back, Joseph was able to see his father, and his father was able to see his grandchildren he didn't know existed. And then in chapter 50, if you'll turn there, we have what really made Joseph great, and that's forgiveness. Chapter 50, verse 15. Now when Joseph's brothers saw, in the course of time, we had the reunion and Jacob dies. He dies. So then the brothers think, okay, now he'll get even, right? When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us. Of course, that's what they did to him. They hated him. And may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. That's what the world does. We get even. Okay, we get vengeance. I'm gonna live long enough to get even with you and repay you. That's not the heart of God. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin. At least they're saying that they sinned. For they did evil to you. That's true. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And when Joseph is hearing this, what does he do? He starts crying again. You know, a man's man cries. You know that? There's no more of a man's man than this. He wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, just like the dream. And they said, behold, we are your servants, just like the dream. And Joseph said, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? And here's the classic line of the story. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And be comforted. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That's the example that we're to do, is to bring comfort and kindness even to people, to family that hates us. I love the line, you intended evil, but God turned it into good. You know, those kinds of circumstances, God, that's how God works. Where people intend evil against you, if you're a righteous person, a man or woman of integrity, God will take that and turn that into good for you and for them. If Joseph had not forgiven his brothers, think about this. I bet you've never thought about this. If Joseph had not forgiven his brothers, we would have lost 10 of the 12 tribes, including Judah, the line of Messiah. To have this care done, there must be forgiveness because that's a picture of the Messiah in forgiving us. He had to be that picture. He's a picture of Yeshua. In offering forgiveness to people who hated him, who tried to kill him, he turned it around and turned it into love. And that's the example, and that's what makes Joseph great. What made him a great leader? First of all, he heard from God. Are you listening? Are you hearing? Is he speaking to you? He is. Are you listening? He accurately discerned God's will. And when he knew what it was willing to do it. Some people say, well, oh no thanks. What's that? You have plan B? How about C? No. When God reveals his will, we need to be willing to do it and to go wherever that is and do whatever that is. He could see the bigger picture. That was spiritual wisdom and discernment, understanding, insight, spiritual qualities that he had. He was a dreamer. Be a dreamer. Be a dreamer. He was a forgiver. That's the hard one. I'll take dreaming any day, right? He was a forgiver. Now, to be a forgiver, people have to offend you. People have to sin against you. I hate that. Yeshua said, if you're going to follow me, you need to be a forgiver. And if we're leaders, we have to show by example that we do that, which means when we're offended, we offer forgiveness and love. Nobody, I can't find the verse that says it's easy. But he did the right thing. He did the righteous thing. He was a forgiver. He forgave those who sinned against him. It was family. That's the hardest one. Be a forgiver. He was a weeper. He let his heart be soft. He had a soft heart. He didn't feel it was not manly to express emotions. So I say to you, have a soft heart. Have a soft heart. He heard from God. He listened, and he did, no matter what the cost. And his picture parallels Yeshua. And if we call ourselves messianic, that means Messiah-like, so be it with us. That's how we are supposed to live our life. And it's really hard. It's much easier to get even, to show revenge and vengeance and all those things. It's much easier sometimes not to express our, if we're hurt, our heart. Leaders and future leaders, Joseph's life is a great example of a godly person. What made him a great leader? He was godly. And when he led, God blessed. He did the right thing. When temptation comes your way, do the right thing. Make the right choice. Make those choices ahead of time that when you're faced with it, what are you going to do? Okay? Our God and God of our fathers, I thank you for this example of leadership in Scripture, of a man that did what was right no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the cost. And I thank you that you take the evil that people mean against us and turn that around into good, into something that's a blessing. And you can turn our hearts, when we respond to those who hate us and are jealous over us and all those wicked things we see in this chapter, you can soften our heart and turn that around into love as you did with Joseph. Lord, I pray so be it with us, that if we've been wounded, if we've been struck, if we've been a victim, even from family, I pray that somehow you do a work in our heart. And that this can be turned and changed and softened, and we would respond in love. Because we are to follow in your footsteps and do what you did. Give us the strength, I pray, to be who we've called ourselves to be. Messiah-like. And as Yeshua could look his enemies in the eye when they're killing him in hatred and say, Father, forgive them, so be it with us, that we can pray for those in our family who are jealous and who even show hatred. Father, forgive them. How can I love them? In Yeshua's name. Amen.